Loey Marsh is a prominent anti-pornography activist and a superstar in the feminist lecture circuit. At a conference on sexuality, she's found strangled by a dog collar. Was it the same dog collar worn earlier that day by a sadomasochist at the conference? That's the mystery in Barbara Wilson's new novel, The Dog Collar Murders. It's the third novel about lesbian feminist sleuth Pam Nilsson. Barbara Wilson is also the founder of The Seal Press, which publishes feminist books, including her own. She says she started writing detective novels as an entertaining way of combining action and feminist politics. Her mysteries not only investigate murders, they investigate life in the lesbian feminist community. In the opening of the new novel, Pam and her lover attend the wedding of Pam's heterosexual twin sister, Penny.
If this had been one of the novels we used to read, or one of the stories Penny used to tell me, then I should have been the happiest girl on earth now. My twin sister was getting married to the man she loved, and I was the bridesmaid. Of course, some things weren't quite the way we might have imagined them. Instead of a white lace dress and gossamer veil, Penny was wearing an embroidered blouse and a handwoven skirt from Guatemala. And instead of tossing me a bouquet after the ceremony, she handed me her baby so she could kiss the groom. I kissed the groom, too. After all, he'd been my lover once for nearly 2 years. And Penny kissed my partner. On the mouth, Hadley said later. Then I kissed Penny and handed baby Antonia back to her, and we all trooped out of the house into the garden for the reception. Hadley came up behind me and put her arms around my waist. Her hair smelled good, of fall and herb shampoo, and she was wearing a new light wool jacket that rubbed pleasantly on my bare arms. Always a bridesmaid, never a groom, she said. It's all so reactionary, I muttered, while smiling at the arriving guests and directing them to the happy pair. If I were the one getting married, to you, for instance, do you think all these people, all these relatives and friends of the family would be turning up? No way. Some of them don't seem so pleased to see that Penny has an 8-week-old baby at her breast, Hadley noted. I think the baby's supposed to be a gentle swelling under the bride's dress, so people can gossip and speculate.
You've made Pam a woman who only recently became a lesbian. What's interesting about that is that this way she's new to the lesbian community, and she can always be examining it and discovering it and seeing things that people who've been a part of that community for a long time might not notice anymore.
Yeah, that's true, though it's kind of funny because I started this series of novels about her 6 years ago, so not very much time has passed in the world of the novel, so she's still kind of in that state perpetually, which is a little bit tiring for me sometimes.
But did you want her initially to be in that state?
Yeah, and I'm interested in her position as somewhat of an outsider because it enables her to look with maybe fresh eyes on some of the questions of the lesbian feminist community.
By giving her a heterosexual twin sister, you've enabled her to always be looking over her shoulder, saying, what if I was still a heterosexual? Would I have a baby? Would I want a baby? Would I want to be married? There's always this sense of resentment there, too, between the two sisters.
Yeah, and I think that it's a way of involving the reader in what it's like to be a lesbian, if the reader is straight, for instance. And many of us do have family who don't accept us. So it's a real question for Pam.
The Dog Collar Murders is about the division between anti-pornography feminists and lesbian feminists who are into sadomasochism. So you've chosen two real extremes on sexual issues. Why did you want to set it in that issue?
Well, I think that most of my novels have come out of questions that I'm interested in myself and I don't know the answers to. So I think that, for instance, in Sisters of the Road, I talked about prostitution because that was an issue that I didn't know what I thought about it. And the same with pornography. I mean, like most other people, I've been listening to the debates for at least 10 years, and my feelings have gone back and forth. In some ways, I think The Dog Collar Murders is less about pornography than it is about rhetoric and styles of rhetoric. Because in actual fact, there aren't just two positions, even though there often seem to be the anti-pornography versus the anti-censorship feminists. There are the Christian fundamentalists. There are artists who want to create some kind of lesbian eroticism. There are socialist feminists who wonder why everyone is talking about this issue anyway when there are much more important things to discuss. And that was very interesting for me as I began my reading to decide that there were not just two positions, but maybe six or so.
So one of the women who is against pornography is strangled with a dog collar, and that's the murder that sets things in action.
Right.
So is this a roman, Aklef? Do you have friends on the lecture circuit who are wondering if they're the basis of any of the characters in the book?
It's not. I tried to be pretty careful in drawing Loie Marsh to make her not like anyone in particular, but to resemble many women. I think that I'm a little bit younger than some of the famous feminists of the 70s, and like many women, I grew up hearing speeches sort of year after year from these women who were the founders of modern feminism. And I think that they take themselves quite seriously in lots of ways. And I think that there's an effort to sort of reevaluate those speeches and the kind of the tone they have in their speeches of knowing what's best for the rest of us. And I think it's that tone, in a way, that I was trying to critique more than any one person.
Mm-hmm. I think you're also critiquing the way some women relate to the, quote, stars of the feminist movement as symbols and not as full human beings.
I think that's very true, and I think that still continues. I wasn't at a conference in New York in April of 87, but I listened to tapes of it, and there's so much that goes on between the audience and the stars in terms of the audience sort of screaming their names and agreeing with them and clapping at everything they say. It's real interesting to listen to from a distance.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, before you said that you see this novel as being about rhetoric, and it's interesting to read some of the rhetoric of women who are involved with sadomasochistic practices. Like, for instance, you quote one of the women during this investigation as saying, sadomasochism isn't about force, it's about exploring limits. And that's an explanation for why she doesn't think it was a sadomasochist who committed the murder, because it's not about force, it's about exploring limits. I think, you know, sadomasochism has become so intellectualized.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the things that interests you in this, how that's happened?
Yes. Well, that's the rhetorical side of the novel, in that sadomasochism has some brilliant exponents like Pat Califia and Gail Rubin, who have written long theoretical works on what is important and interesting about sadomasochism. In a book like Coming to Power, they have long, very interesting essays. But I also think that when you contrast those essays with some of the other or first-person fantasies in the book, it's somewhat disturbing. And I think that many feminists are intellectually interested in sadomasochism, but the reality is sometimes a little bit different.
So, Barbara, you've written this book about the sex debates, and it's a very, very chaste book.
Yeah, that's true. I'm interested in exploring sexuality in different ways from how I see many people exploring sexuality today. I mean, there's a lot of interest in eroticism, but I don't see eroticism as divorced from my characters, and I have to think, what would my characters do? What would they think about? I'm interested in writing sex scenes that aren't necessarily meant to titillate, but to ask questions. For instance, there's a scene that I really like in The Dog Collar Murders where Pam and Hadley go to see some videos that have been made by a lesbian erotic video maker. And Pam has been suspecting that they're just going to be what she thinks of as porn. But instead, they're very deconstructionist and very intellectual, and most of the audience is having fits because they don't think that it's sexy at all. So there's a big debate about whether these are sexy or not. And that was really fun for me, to write sexual images that were undercut by people asking questions about them.
Mm-hmm. So have your views changed in the course of writing this book, in the sex debates?
No, I think I'm still confused. I think that I'm not a great theoretical thinker. I never have been, and I never will be. If I have a talent, it's putting words into other people's mouths. And I think that the issues are very complicated, which is why I split them up and let people explain different parts of them. Many theoreticians are interested in building a single system or structure, and they get so caught up in proving their own point of view that they have to mute contradiction and criticism. And I'm very interested in contradiction. I think it's interesting, and as a fiction writer, I deal in contradiction. So after having written the book, I do get asked, well, you have read so much about this, you must have decided what you think. But in actual fact, everything I read still after the book makes me think, oh, that's an interesting side, I didn't think of that. Or, oh, I should have explored that in the book, because new things keep coming up.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.